Hey, Mama, welcome to the Navigating Postpartum Wellness Podcast. This is a community where you can feel seen, heard, and supported with relatable mom content to help you prioritize your wellness. Whether it's managing stress, reducing burnout, or simply finding ways to take care of yourself, this space is for you. Here we focus on making small, manageable steps toward feeling like yourself again without adding more to your plate. I'm your host, Jeray Williams, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into this episode. Welcome back to another episode of Navigating Postpartum Wellness with me, Jeray Williams. And today I'm so honored to sit down with Rachel Taylor. She's a licensed therapist, postpartum educator, and author of After Baby Comes, a postpartum guide for the mind, heart, and spirit. Rachel has created a space that's as real as it is restorative. She's not here to give you a perfect plan. She's here to walk with you through the sacred, the messy, and a deeply transformational season of her life after birth. Her work helps mothers navigate identity, mental health, and soul deep healing with grace, faith, and emotional honesty. Whether you're in the thick of postpartum or walking with someone who is, this conversation is going to minister to you. So, hey, Rachel.
Hey, Jeray. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. If you guys could see, we're just grinning. Like, it's just a great day. So, Rachel, would you like to introduce yourself to the mamas?
Sure. So like she said, I'm Rachel Taylor. So I've been in the whole birth world for a little over 15 years now. Started out as a registered nurse doing labor and delivery, postpartum, post-C-section, all the fun stuff. And then the last couple of years have just shifted more over to education. So helping moms prepare for birth and doing spinning babies education and postpartum education, all the things. So yeah.
That is awesome. So you went from being an RN to going into like therapy?
Yes. So, and I'm still an RN. I just don't practice on the floor right now.
Wow.
But yes, there was just, I don't know. It's like the teacher within me or something just wanted to help moms learn to advocate for themselves and, you know, prepare them in the ways that I could.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we can do different things and still serve in the way that works for us. So I love that. So before we dive in talking about your book, tell me a little bit lately, what has your soul needed lately as you hold space for other women? So how do you pour back into yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. So journaling is a big one. And then just making sure I have quiet time. You know, before we started recording, I told Jeray that I have three kids, but they're getting older. So it's in a different season of life. And I'm actually able to sit by myself for like 10 minutes, which you don't always get when you have littles, you know, running around. So just being intentional in that way. I still, you know, I do counseling for myself too. Just, I think that that's important too. You just don't know what you don't know. And so having other people, you know, have that perspective into your life, that helps me be whole, you know.
I love that you mentioned about how, although you are a licensed therapist, you still have counseling. And for me as a mom, I'm thinking, like, what advice would you give about finding the right therapist? Because that's like a whole, that's a whole nother monster in itself. Like when you're like, oh, I would love a therapist. But it's just like you, in a way, you have to like shop around to find the right one to actually help you and make sure you feel like, you know, comfortable enough to open up with them.
Yeah, and that's hard. I've gone through a couple too, just because you just don't know, you know, but definitely checking out websites and their bios and, you know, if they have reviews, looking at the reviews, seeing what they kind of focus in on. And then even that first session's kind of like a trial run. Like, do we feel connected? Does this feel like it's the right step for me? So it is kind of a trial and error process, unfortunately, with choosing a counselor.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm always like. I think that's the hardest part for moms, like seeking help. Like, we all have all these other things that you're doing, and then you're like, oh, I want to talk to someone. But then it's like, do I have the capacity to actually look? So it's just giving yourself that grace, how you talked about having that downtime and trying to use at least, you know, 2 minutes a day to kind of start filtering out which one, you know, which therapist kind of aligns with what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. I know. You guys, that was just off the grid. I'm like, oh, let me just ask that, you know, someone might need that.
Yes.
So you call postpartum a shaking and awakening. Do you think this season also reveals what systems, relationships, or beliefs need to be reevaluated during that time too?
Oh, absolutely. Like sometimes postpartum is the first time that many of us feel any kind of pressure in the relationship. Like, I've taken care of thousands of moms and they're often surprised. They'll get into postpartum and they'll be like, we're suddenly like fighting a good bit, or I feel disconnected. They're having these issues. And it's like, well, honestly, the truth is these were probably there already, but the pressure hasn't been on where they've actually come up and out. So it's not a bad thing that these, you're having some issues or things are coming up. It's really an opportunity. Like, okay, here this is. What do we do with this? How can we dig in? How can we be intentional? If we need healing, which we all need some healing, from past and childhood and things like that. It's like now's a great time to go, okay, here's what's here. Here's what's in my heart. Here's what's in my relationship. Like, let's figure it out and move forward so we can be stronger for this family that we're creating,
Yeah, because also too, like even despite like partner changes as well, like think about like friendships or like
Oh,
work
yeah.
relationships, like it's just so many changes at once. It's like, oh my gosh, like I did not notice this. Or like for me, when I would had my first son, I realized like, wow, my job doesn't align with the season that I'm in. Like I'm like, wow, like you guys, I don't have that capacity to do all of this right now. But it's just like the realness of it. And I love that how you spoke about it, because I'm like, we don't talk about this enough. Like we always talk about, oh, your life will change, but it's like no one wants to talk about the honesty of like how does it change in a way, and how do you navigate through that? Because it can get rough. But like how you said, that's why I love the work that you're doing on your end as well, because it's just making that impact for us.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it can be a tough time, but it's a good time too.
Yeah, definitely is. And it's like every stage is different, and it's just, yeah, it's a learning experience. But I know that you know, because you're like further on in the journey than me. But I'm like, yeah, it's like everything's different. Like how like my 1-year-old finally is in a place where he'll leave now with dad. He told me the other day, like, go back in the house. And I'm like, wow, you're at this stage now. Like you don't want me
Oh,
to go with you.
I know. And it's like mixed feelings comes with that too. You're like, oh, wait, I don't know if I'm ready for this,
Yeah, because you're just like, oh yay, you want to leave, and it's like, oh, you're becoming independent.
Yes. Oh my goodness, yes. Just the bittersweetness of motherhood for sure.
Yes, most definitely. And then if you want, tell us a little bit what inspired you to write the book after, excuse me, after baby comes, and what, yeah, just tell us all about it. I just want to hear
Yeah. So
it.
there's been a couple things, but the very first, I would say, seed that was planted was after my first baby. I was a registered nurse. I did labor and delivery postpartum. And I laughingly now look back at this, but I'm like, I walked into postpartum thinking this is going to be breezy. Like, I know what to do. I've taken care of new moms, hair flip over the shoulder. And then after he was born, a few weeks into it, I had this moment where I went, oh my gosh, like, this is really hard. Like everything hurt and ached, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I was exhausted. And I thought, if I'm having this much trouble, and supposedly I'm an expert, what do other moms do that don't have my background and training and all that? And so that was the moment that I thought we really have to have better resources than we have. And then just taking care of moms over so many years, like, we would have this experience where I would get her ready for discharge, from the hospital. And she would look at me and say, can I just take you home with me? Or what do I do now? Like, who do I call if I have an issue? And it was just like this, man, these moms feel like, they're well taken care of in the hospital. Typically, they feel well taken care of. We prepare them for birth really well. We're there for them during labor and delivery. And then we're like, there you go. You're off into the world. Good luck with that. And so
Right. Here's your paperwork.
yes. And they're just like, okay. There's not a lot out there of like trusted resources for postpartum, which really surprised me because postpartum has been around forever, And so I just felt like, okay, it's time. Like, we need to create better for these moms so they can transition a little bit easier and smoother and have the resources they need where they're not feeling like they have to Google things at 3 o'clock in the morning, So that was the heart behind it.
Yes, because I'm like, And then, you know what I realized too in my journey and just being in the work that I'm in, I'm just like, wow, like a lot of moms don't really start talking about motherhood until they're actually deep in it. And they're like, whoa, like we need support. Like, oh, let me go help. And I'm just like, yeah, that's the beauty of the times that we're in. Like, we're able
Yeah.
to actually like vocalize and not like, you know, because some people are like, oh, you'll be okay. It's just a phase. But then you have a group of women who are like, no, like, I'm here to support you. Like, how can I walk
Yes.
with you through it? Because it can get really lonely because it's like so many changes at once. And you're just like, oh, okay. I didn't know my body was going to do this. So I didn't know I was going to feel
Right.
like this. Because
Yeah,
most of the time, it's not
absolutely.
even the baby all the time. It's just like you're trying to heal and take care of another person at the same time.
Yeah. And if we, our culture a lot of times too has focused on this like bouncing back thing, which is so unrealistic. It's like nobody's bouncing anywhere in postpartum. Why do we say that, But really building back is the goal. And that takes time. Anything that you build takes time, but that's literally what we're doing. Like we're rebuilding our body. If you could see what goes on with your pelvic floor and all that kind of stuff. It's like that takes time to heal. And just, I think moms a lot of times come into it with this expectation of, I'm going to be good 6 weeks, I'll be back to normal. It's like really this is a transition time. And if we can better prepare them for this is an ongoing season for a little while, postpartum can last longer than 6 weeks and usually does, sometimes even up to 2 years. And then you have more kids, and some women are in this like constant postpartum season for years,
Yeah.
just helping them know, like, no, this is not forever. This is not your forever, but there's a lot going on, and we need to nurture that, and be there and help you as much as we can.
Yeah, I love that you said build back too, because I recently, maybe a couple months ago, I gave myself grace where I'm just like, I came to a realization like, okay, Dre, you had kids and now you're a different. Like you feel like a different person. And like the clothes that I've had before my kids, I finally got to a point like I just accept it now that I'm not gonna
Yeah.
get back into those jeans, but I can go find my new style. And although it was like a little moment of grief, like, oh man, I love those pants, but I'm not gonna get back into those. And I had finally accepted it because I was holding on to them for years. Like, I'm gonna get back into them. So it's like one of
I
those
get
moments.
that. Yeah, I actually cleaned out my closet not long ago and was just like, okay, this is not serving me anymore. Like having these in here weighing over my head kind of a thing, like that's just not good for my heart and my mind, is accepting that, yes, your body changes, but I mean, you're a mom. You gave birth. You like continued humanity. That's a huge
Yeah.
thing. You're a rock star for that. I think just practically too, like, and this is in my book as well, but postpartum moms, new moms, buying clothes that fit you. Like, just break down and buy the 3 or 4 outfits that, like, you feel good in and that fit you well. Because, I think a lot of times we do tend to try to squeeze into those clothes and then we feel even worse.
Especially jeans. Oh my gosh, you ever
Yes.
try to sit down in jeans postpartum?
And you just get frustrated and then you feel down on yourself. And it's like, you know what? That just, it just not good for you. Doesn't serve you well. Get you some clothes that fit and just keep going.
Exactly, because like you ever had that moment where you're like, wow, like I just really gotta let these pants go. Like that's how I got to a point where I'm like, you keep squeezing and it finally buttoned, but are you comfortable? And I had to get to a point where I was like, it's okay, girl, just take them off and wear your
That's
postpartum
right. That's right. We just need some time. Need to give
Yes.
ourselves room, literally.
Okay, so I know that while I was researching your book, and I can't wait to get a copy of it that I'm gonna be able to read when I have some downtime right now. This season's kind of tough. But what healing conversations do you wish the church would have with moms, especially around like spiritual burnout, grief, and even unmet expectations with God?
Yeah, even holding space for moms, because new moms especially, like we tend to have a pretty hard time voicing what we need, asking for what we need, because sometimes we're not even sure. Like we just know we're struggling in some way. We don't know why we're struggling, and that becomes just we turn in on ourselves, and it's like, well, I shouldn't be struggling this way and all, which just isn't true. But if churches could create spaces for moms, support groups, even postpartum small groups, things like that. And I know a lot of churches have created mom rooms, which I think are awesome. It's where you can go and there's rocking chairs and you can still hear the sermon and all that kind of stuff. But there's just so much pressure. I remember with my first baby, I went back to church way too early. We were leaders at the time. I felt this pressure to come back. And I got there and he was miserable, like the whole service. I was up and down. I felt like everybody was watching me, which I'm sure wasn't true. It was just how I felt, but we didn't have a space like that. So I ended up hiding in a little office space and like feeding him the whole time. And it was just miserable. I thought, I wasn't ready. I probably shouldn't have gone yet. But had there been that space, it would have just felt like, oh, pressure off. Like there's a spot for me. I can go in there. This is not a big deal. Nobody cares if I'm in the service or not, kind of a thing. But I think if we could just make the room, and then if seasoned moms too could just take on the role of, okay, these are the moms who just had babies. What did I need during that time, whether I got it or didn't get it, and let me be that person. I mean, that just, like you said earlier, the community, the support, the other moms just makes a world of difference when you're in that season of life.
Yes, and I love that you talked about that with the church because I have my own personal feelings too about like when you go back to church as a mom, like even with little kids, like say you don't want to put them in the child care area, like you want to just, they want to sit with you because I know like my kids, like they're persistent. If they don't want to be in there, like I don't want to be in there. And so like even when we would have them in service with us, it gets uncomfortable sometimes because people are like, well, why didn't you put them in there? Or like some sense of like they're making too much noise or just like little stuff where you're like, you can go step out and things like that. It's just like being able to welcome the children as well. Like even if they make noise or do the thing, like instead of like looking at the parents like side-eyeing, but just smile like, okay, I see you, like,
I am right there with you. Like kids bring so much life to the service, like I love having kids around and in the service and all. And I had a similar experience where I had somebody come up to me and go, don't you want to take them to the nursery? And I was just like, no, I don't.
Yeah, and it gets so awkward because you're like, why are we like, it's cool if the kids feel comfortable in there, but if they're not there yet, like instead of like being like, oh, you should put them in there, let them cry it out, it's like, well, that's not always effective because I know my kids, like they will cry the whole hour or two just
That
because
was
they
my
don't want to do
firstborn.
it.
Yeah, I totally get that. Very, very, I forget the word you used for it. Persistent, I think, is what you said.
Yep,
That's a
that's
great
what I call them. Yep.
that is a great word for that. And you like them to be in the atmosphere too. It's just, I think it's good for them. But yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, my oldest loves like praise and worship too. So he'll be in there clapping, trying to have his hands up. And he's like, I don't know what's going on, but I love it. And
It's
so,
precious. They just feel it,
yeah, he's like, I'm soaking it in. All right. So I know one of the hardest things as a mom, and even still till this day, boundaries always look different depending on where you are. So let's talk about it. What does boundary setting look like to you?
So this was something that did not come easy for me. I've had to learn, I was raised as a people pleaser and just part of my personality is just soft, and so that was really difficult. And I think too, postpartum was the first time that was really like, okay, like I struggle in this area. People are allowed to do whatever and walk all over me and I just don't say a whole lot and that is not healthy in any way. So boundaries for me really looked like, okay, I'm not setting a boundary to punish you. Like that's important. I think a lot of people maybe don't even realize they do that, but they, if they're like me in any way, they get pushed and pushed and pushed. And then it's suddenly like a, that's it. I can't take it anymore. When really we should have been dealing with it way before that happened. So boundaries are not like to punish anybody. It really is like, this is what's best for me. And it's not to please you, and it's also not to hurt you or make you angry. It just is what it is. Like this is for my health and my well-being right now, and in the book I talk about when you set boundaries, telling people about yourself instead of telling them about them, which is easy to do, especially if you're upset. You're such a jerk. You always do this. And it's like, that's never going to go well. You know, that's always going to put the other person on defense and they're going to get upset. It's like, but when you take it as, I'm going to tell you about me, and that's vulnerable and that's risky, and you may not take it well at all. You know, that's part of it. But I feel overwhelmed when you give me advice about the baby, and I need to learn to trust my own instincts. You know, something like that is like you're telling them what's in your heart, but you're also not, you're a selfish mom or mother-in-law or whatever, you know, kind of a thing. You are putting it back on you of this is what I need right now. To me, that's what healthy boundaries look like.
I love that you framed it. This is not to punish you. I'm gonna have to use that. Okay, I'm gonna write that
Yes.
down and use that because it's just like, even when you tell people, sometimes if you don't frame it like that, they still feel offended some type of way. Like, they're like,
Absolutely.
well, you're not calling me or texting me back and stuff like that. And just like, you don't know what I'm doing during
Right. Yeah.
that
And we can't control like what they do. We can't ever
time.
control how they feel, how they're going to respond. We can only control us. And so healthy boundaries, putting it back, just I can control me and I can control what I say. And they may get hurt and they may get offended. That's unfortunate that that does happen sometimes, you know, and they'll throw it back at you as you're the bad guy or something. And it's just like, I did not set this boundary to upset you, but this is, I am firm on this,
Yeah.
you know? Yeah.
I love how your voice is so soft with it too. Like, even like, it's just like, yeah, I said that. But it's just like so soft. And I think people could accept it more when you have it like in a soft tone. Because for me,
Yeah.
like my personality, I would say it like in a stern tone. And it's just, yeah, it's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully they know you well enough to know, like, this is you know?
Yeah. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't always go that way. But
Yeah.
at the end of the day, like you said, it's not to hurt, punish you. It's just make sure I'm protecting myself as well, because
Yes.
oftentimes if you don't show people where that boundary is, they will keep pushing it until you have to like tell them like, hey, I have it, I've had enough, and that's where things go left.
Absolutely. And I give the example in my book too about my dad. Like, he had never really made safe choices. And one day I heard him tell somebody, I go to my daughter's house whenever I want to. I don't even have to call. And immediately I could feel like the anxiety rising in my chest. And I had young kids, like I was in postpartum, I had other children. And I said, I was so proud of myself too, because I'm not a conflict person, like, don't like it at all. I said, no, Dad, like, you are welcome when you are invited, but you always have to call first. And it hurt his feelings. Like, I'm sure he felt embarrassed because he was standing in front of another person. But I was like, oh my gosh, like, what? What?
Like,
You
let's
can't
not
just
start
show up at
that.
my house. Yeah, no, I can't pretend that I'm okay with that even for a minute, you know? Oh yeah.
Oof, yeah, I felt that because I've had similar situations. So yeah, that's what we're gonna. Yep, I got you. And before we wrap up, this question I really love so much because it makes me think about just your whole experience and journey. Like, what does it mean to you to mother while being mothered by God?
Well, I think, and you'll understand this too, there's like no love that you've ever experienced until you become a mom. Like, and suddenly you see your children and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I love you so much. It feels like my heart's gonna explode. And wow, this must be how God feels. You know, it just brings a whole shift of perspective that you just don't realize until you're there in that season of life. And just leaning into that, leaning into receiving that love from God. And, you know, I really am viewed as his child, you know, and allowing him to pour out on you and giving yourself grace. Had to learn to do that too, because I think as moms, we are really hard on ourselves sometimes. We're harder on us than anybody else is, or than we would ever be on somebody else. You know, we tend to criticize ourselves, and man, I really could have done that different today. I wish I hadn't raised my voice. Like, man, I'm failing as a mom. We have all these thoughts. And just how do we see our kids? Like, how do we feel towards them when they're learning to walk and they fall down? Like, we don't get mad at them. You know, we don't beat them up with our words or anything like that. We're celebrating the wins and helping them get back up and just realizing, like, that's how God feels about us too. And that's what he's doing with us. So, allowing us to feel that way and letting ourselves off the hook. when we need to, and just nope, if God feels this way for me, how can I hold myself to these same harsh criticisms and judgments?
Yeah, that's so true. 'Cause it's like it's a mirror. Like you get to see your relationship with God. Like you're like, wow. Like if my kids like, for me, I always see it in the scope. So like, and when my kids get like impatient or like, I need it now. You're like, wow. Are we like that with God? And God's like, hold on now. Like I'm trying to help you, but come on. So it's like
That's true
also just like
too.
you said, like just seeing the positives too. Like how the or how we feel and like seeing them make those milestones and things like that, like just framing it in a sense like, wow, he loves us like that too, and like cheering us
Yeah.
on in those moments as well. So that just poured into me because I'm just like, yeah, like I see it, but why I don't ever sit in those moments with the wins, like wow, like that God is cheering us on like that or
Yeah.
something. So it's beautiful that you
Thanks.
said that because I'm like, wow, that gave me chills. All right, so before we wrap up, what is one piece? That you one piece of advice that you will give to a new mom in this season right now.
So you are the right mom for your baby. You are the mom that God created for these children. Even in your mistakes, your failures, your flaws, like He designed your babies to be who they are, thanks to your strengths and thanks to your weaknesses too. And just remembering that, because again, it goes back to that we can be so critical. We can have these expectations of ourselves that when we don't meet those in our own mind, our own standards, we feel like we're failing. And it's just remembering the truth of you are the right mom for your kids. God did not make a mistake. Your strengths, even your weaknesses, they are all right for who your children are going to be.
That's good. I think, thank you for telling me that. Yes, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on, sharing your wisdom. It was just so amazing. And Mamas, the book After Baby Comes will be, the link will be in the bio. Make sure that you check it out. And until next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Navigating Postpartum Wellness Podcast. If you enjoyed it, I'd love for you to leave a review and share this podcast with a mom friend who needs encouragement. Be sure to join my email list at navigatingpostpartumwellness.com for more tips, updates, and resources to help you on your journey. I'll see you in the next episode.